All right, got my coconut oil, got my sun blockers, got my green visor that people play poker with.
Where are you headed? All you
Oh
got
yeah,
a
I'm very Tommy Bahama right now, you know? Got my
yeah, it's a
Speedo
vibe. It's
on.
a vibe.
It's a vibe.
You know,
Yeah, so I'm
what's
very
up?
pale, as you can tell. Been pale my whole life, very Irish.
Yeah, if I shined a flashlight on you, it would just reflect back at me.
Pearlescent is what you would describe me as. And yeah, so I kind of want to change it up. I figured I might as well get a nice little tan here. I was reading up on a technique that would seem to be the safest way for me to tan,
Oh,
and
not in
would
a
get me a
tanning
good,
bed?
not in a
Okay.
tanning bed, no,
Not a spray tan?
outdoors. No. So what I found is that if I get a large granite slab and lay on that in the sun, I'll be able to get a nice even tan that also like not hurt my skin as much.
Where are you gonna find a granite slab?
Yeah, that's really hard to come by. I'm not gonna go buy a granite slab because that'd be insane. I don't know why it has to be a granite slab either, but I guess that's what the influencer was telling me. Graveyards have granite slabs sometimes. It's a hot day. Figured I'd just go down to the local cemetery and see if anybody's got a nice hot slab for me to lie
You're
on.
gonna lay on a gravestone?
Yeah, I mean, just that's hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Beauty is pain. You got it. I gotta keep up appearances, B.
I very much hope that whoever you lay on top of reaches up and drags you under.
I'm gonna just push the flowers aside once I get there, too. They're still laying them. I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs. Up to camp with Stephen King. River curses, Wesley sings. Homegrown horror. Hello and welcome to Homegrown
Homegrown
Horror, Maine spooky podcast about Maine. Spooky things. True
True
crime
crime,
horror.
cryptids, hauntings, and today I have a bone to pick with the whole town of York.
Ho, ho, ho! We're coming for your ass, York. Drag them, B.
I'm Bea, a co-host.
I'm Jackson, a co-host.
And So today's a very interesting story because I have a dog in this race.
You do have a
I have
dog.
a dog in this race, but how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I want to say I have a horse in this fight.
Maybe it is supposed to be a dog. I don't know. Is it a
No,
dog in this fight? You know, I've heard dog in this
I've heard
race.
dog in this fight and horse in this race.
Race. I just combined them.
Yeah.
It's been. My brain is not totally like back, just so you're aware. Because the reason we like had the mini-sode like the mini stories last week is because I drove up to New York last
Yeah.
weekend for a rebirthing retreat. We're not getting into it, but I have not fully like reintegrated into real life.
You have crowned once more, and everything is new to you.
It kind of does feel that way, actually,
Nice.
to a degree. But so that's who I am. So I am going to do actually like I have big opinions on this story. So I do think this is probably going to be one of it's going to be fine. I'm not going to Google anything up.
You're not gonna gobble it.
Nope, not going to gobble it, not going to Google it. Oh, the other thing is we have a new niece.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Congratulations to
Laura and Paul. Yes.
Laura
So we have a new niece. Her name is Mary. And I do want to, because this also is very is important for this episode, actually. So she was born around 7 a.m. She was 7 pounds, and she was born on the 7th. And Laura was in labor for 7 hours.
Wow, the rule of sevens. Last seven was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, I'm like, I if 7 is not this child's lucky number, like, for real? For real, for real.
It has to be.
It has to be. So why is that important to today? Well, we're going to talk about a witch.
Some witchy shit today.
We're going to talk about some witchy shit. And as I said, I do this. Allegra and I were discussing this.
Yeah.
Because Allegra and I both identify as witches.
Uh-huh.
Separate from also the fact that we are pagan.
Yeah.
But.
I'm sorry. I just punched the mic.
Obviously, witches have a very interesting history here in New England. Because what do we all know happened in New England?
Oh, the Salami witch trials.
Yes, the Salami witch trials. You know, there were people who were like
pagans in general are out in these parts that we learned previously about some older pagan colonies.
Correct.
Pagan in like quotations.
Pagan in quotations. Yeah. Marymount.
Yeah, Marymount.
Pagan in quotations. So this began with me. I was going through, if those of you remember when I did Massacre Pond, my sister Autumn recommended a book to me, which was Haunted Maine by Charles A. Stansfield Jr. So I was just going along and I found The York Witch.
Interesting.
And so she is buried in the Old York Cemetery in York, Maine, which you are familiar with.
I am familiar with.
Because you spent some time there this summer.
I was there.
Did you get witchy vibes?
Didn't get any witchy vibes. I did get a lot of Canadian vibes, though. A lot of French Canadians around there.
Yeah, that tracks.
I think I also saw a Nazi there, which I think also tracks.
Well, that's fucking sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, no witchy vibes, though.
No witchy vibes. Okay. Yeah. The other thing.
I got this chain necklace. There at York Beach.
Is it cursed?
No, I just feel like a Guido now. Can I say Guido?
I don't know.
I'm not gonna. It's fine. You can keep it in.
That's fine. I think it's fine. The like 1/8 Italian girl says you're fine.
All right, perfect.
So, the interesting thing about this story is we've had some conversations about mythos surrounding people. And this particular woman has a very interesting mythos, and it means a lot to Allegra and I. The more I started digging and telling her, we were both getting really hyped up. So, the first thing is, I want to point out that the book and findagrave.com both have her name as Mary Miller Jason. The gravestone and every other source I could find has her as Mary Nason.
What? Okay, so we've all collectively decided not to read, and one source was like, it's Jason.
Yeah. A lot of the other sources are like, they are smart and can read, and they saw, like, her gravestone says Mary Nason.
Yeah.
It says Mary Nason.
Mary Nason.
So that's what we're going with. There are a few things that we do know about this woman. She was 29 years old, and she lived in York. That's what we know for sure. She died at 29. She was married to Samuel Nason. I saw a few sources that said she had no children. I'm going to go with that she did have children, because there were a couple other sources that were like, she had 5 children with Samuel, and the other thing that leads me to believe that is because on her gravestone, it literally says parent.
So she has children.
Yes. I'm rolling with that. So
it is kind of funny. Okay. I just want to make a brief, because this is just something that I've noticed when researching cryptid stories and like hauntings and like generally things people don't really like take seriously. The level of research that is like out there and like sources that are out there, it's just so funnily like put together and just kind of all, of course, like when we're talking about a lot of this shit, it's like all just made up, so everyone has their variation. But if it's like something like slightly grounded in reality, like Lawrence Farrell last week, as an example, or now Mary Nason.
Yeah, Nason.
It's like we with an have, N. There's some concrete reality to it, but we just fuck it up like entirely just because like, oh, it's a witch, whatever. Throw right. whatever on the paper. Jason, yep, that sounds right. Nah, I don't see the parent label on the gravestone. Just like the minor amount of effort that is needed to just get that small detail that is the only, that, sorry, that is the thing that we know is real.
Correct.
Yeah.
So one of the most interesting articles that I found is from Seacoast Online, which pulls from York Weekly, which this was a school teacher from York that wrote in about Mary Nason and her gravestone, which we'll get to, put pins in all of that. But this article gives the most information, which is, quote, at the end of August 1774, only 7 months before the opening battles of the War for Independence, a young woman died here in town. She was 29 years old. Her maiden name was Mary Shores, and she was a native of New Hampshire. She had been the mother and tender parent of 5 children, including twins. Her husband was a saddler who sold horse furnishings and advertised his business in the pages of the Portsmouth newspaper. And then it goes on to say, his name was Samuel Nason. She was Mary Nason, unquote. It does also seem that she died shortly after the birth of her last child. So my inclination is to say it was probably from complications
right.
of childbirth. That but, I mean, makes the most sense to me.
She went for 5 rounds. That's pretty impressive.
Including twins. Including twins. In the 1700s, that's a feat.
Yeah.
But why am I talking about this woman?
Because she's a witch.
That's the thing. So her gravestone is known as the witch's grave.
Interesting. Okay.
So
a little urban folklore or...
Maybe. Oh, okay. I'm going to go through a couple different pathways for you. Because again, as we know, apparently we can't decide on anything here because... Is her name Nason or Jason? It's Nason. Did she have children or no? She did.
Like only 2 people in town could write and they weren't paying attention to this.
So it is generally accepted, but there is no evidence really. Because Seacoast Online says, the Seacoast Online article, this particular teacher was saying like, I don't know why they say she's a witch. A lot of other sources, dubiously, claim that she was a white witch and that she was an herbalist. This is where Allegra got very, like, into this because herbalism has a very long history and not all people who deal in herbalism are witches.
Right.
Nor do I believe, and she doesn't think so either, that Mary would have called herself a witch. If she is an herbalist, she's just doing what she can for people, mm-hmm. using the old ways. And that's also a thing that came up a little bit in my research as well, talking about how in Salem time, a lot of the people that were accused were actually Quakers, because their version of God was very different, because Quakers believe that God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And that pissed off the Puritans.
They're very, very upset about it.
Yeah, because they're like, God is not within you. How dare you? So, and then as some people from the old world started coming, like uh-huh. you're Irish, you're Scottish, you're Italians, a lot of them had folk magic and folk beliefs.
Yeah.
I.e. the fucking the Scottish and the Irish with the fae.
yeah, they're very into that stuff.
Yes. And even though they do have, like, they were indoctrinated into Christianity, those beliefs still were, like, held side by side,
right.
which for yeah. a lot of people here in the New World were like, so
it is pretty funny how like the Puritan mindset has made like Americans very weirdly intolerable for like most of history. It's like kind of embedded into everything at this point.
It really is.
And I think it really just comes out. I think the individualistic mindset is a big part of that. And yeah, the constant intolerance.
Yeah. Yep. There was one article from Random Times, which, you know,
so random.
So Leo S. on Random Times believes that she may have been African-American. There's not a lot of other evidence to back that up. That is solely based on the carving on her gravestone, which we'll get to. So that we start seeing, okay, people are not agreeing on certain things, because while everyone says, yes, she was an herbalist and dealt in quote-unquote white magic, some people also believe that she would help other people by performing exorcisms, which then people were like, oh, so that means that she's dealing in black magic, which, hold on, does that mean that priests that are exorcists are dealing in black magic and we should also call them witches? How is an exorcism bad?
I think the context of what that belief is based on like old Catholic beliefs, like because the Catholic priests are invoking God's name in the removal of the spirit. They see that as God intervening versus a person doing it on their own without that being, oh, that's black magic.
But could I not just say God gave me this power?
I mean, you could just say that.
But they probably would be like, it's definitely Satan pretending to be God and you're a witch. So
also, like, I think the big theme here is we don't have a lot of details. No. I also think it's kind of funny to hear like white magic and then that's just herbalism, and it's like yeah, of course it's just herbalism. I feel like there's a lot of moments in history where it's like they're a witch, they know how to shock mint. It's like, oh, they're a witch now, not just like,
oh my god, that does that. She knows that, yeah, when my tummy hurts that I need to chew on, oh, I can't, Allegro was always like, I think it's like a seedy thing.
The seedy thing.
Yeah. She's like, chew on these seeds.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like,
it's like, okay, my tummy hurts, chew on these seeds.
Yeah, so it's like someone who might just know even like basic medicine with herbs is just like, oh, they're a witch. It's like, no, they just fucking and picked up some plants on the ground.
That's what Allegra and I were discussing, was the fact that like, it would, to me, it's sort of like if somebody were like, oh, penicillin, witchcraft. You know?
There are some people that are like that today.
But it's just sort of like, there are also like pharmaceutical interventions that have herbal constituents in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are certain things, like for example, like I remember my mom using witch hazel for my skin when I was a teenager. People chewed, like you can get ginger chews like at the store. There are certain things that like we know, like, okay, plants do things.
Yes, plants do
plants
do things.
Do things. And the other thing is, like, there are some people who have a bet, like, in the past would have a better understanding. They were the one, they would take the notes and do the learning, and then they would, you know, basically be, like, your herbalist. Mm-hmm. However, some of my research, like, some of the articles were pointing out that when things would sort of go awry, because it's like when things are working for you, cool. If something didn't work, that's when people started getting sus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's another fold there for you. So she might have been an herbalist. I think it's generally believed that she was an herbalist. Was she performing exorcisms, or was that just like another like,
there might be just some throwaway shit
just,
there.
Just like, yeah. Let's add a little spice. Just a little spiciness.
A little spiciness.
A little spiciness, you know? Just a little flavor.
She was summoning imps and making them dance.
For real. I saw her. I saw her. She exercised my house, but man, were they throwing a house party. Like, they were backing it up right out the door.
Backing it up. Massive conga line. Everyone was there.
Yeah, Beelzebub was there, Mammon was there, and good old Lucy. Like,
magistrate.
I was just magistrate. The other thing is, there are some people who claim she was hanged as a witch.
Hung. No, hanged.
Is it hanged or
no,
hung?
It's hanged.
Okay.
Hung is the penis one.
I hung it on my wall. You did not hang it on your wall. So
I hanged it on that wall there.
So there are people who believe that she was put to death for being a witch. Because Allegra wanted me to, like, asterisk this and say, no, nobody in the colonies was burnt at the stake. She's really tired of that, that misconception.
Can we just throw them in a lake or something? Wasn't that it?
They were either hung, or in the case of Giles Corey, he was pressed with stones.
And
but that was different because he would not take oath, because he's like, if I don't take the oath, you can't try me. So they pressed him and then he died.
Yep.
Which... I learned about him when I did the Crucible in high school. So his legacy is also enduring because he was a man that was killed during the witch trials as well. My thing is, like, there's no historical documentation to suggest that there was a trial or she was hung or anything like that.
So where does it all come from then?
Well, part of it stems from the fact that there is a big old granite slab on her, like, over the part where she's buried. Which, so some people be like, man, they put that there to prevent her from rising up. It is called a wolf stone, and it was actually very common in ye old days, because when you have things like wolves or cattle or dogs, anything that could, like, dig up a body, disinter a body.
I don't know what it is.
Anyway, anything that could ruin the grave.
It was
big old stone on it.
Yeah.
To prevent that from happening.
Boom. But wolf-proof.
Wolf-proof. But the thing that people say is, they're like, oh, but hers is the only gravestone that has that.
Maybe the husband sprung up for an extra grave. Stone on top of that. Right?
We're going to get there, because I just have opinions, because unfortunately I do think the state of her grave has contributed to the mythos. And I'm not going to say it's her husband's fault, but I think it might be his fault just a little bit.
Personally. Oh, damn, they engraved Baphomet on this thing.
Personally. So, yep, they're like, oh, it's slapped there to prevent her from rising up from the dead.
That's also kind of dumb logic, though, because it's like, say she does burst out of that coffin, starts digging up, you just go around it. It's not that big of a stone.
Right?
Just go around.
If you're a ghost, like, what's granite gonna do?
It's like, no, I have to dig up. Ah, dang it! Granite!
Fun fact, also, in Salem, the quote-unquote witches were buried upside down.
Right.
So that way they couldn't dig up. They just dig right back into the ground.
You down fools.
To Satan, where you belong. So that's...
conveniently forgetting about equilibrium within a person.
Yes. So, the gravestone. Are you familiar with a grim death head?
No.
Okay. So... in the 1700s, basically what you would have is, I know you've seen them, it's the skull with wings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is a Grimm's death head. And basically what it was meant to, it was an austere decoration that was like, everything was uniform, it was very humble, but it symbolized the decay of the physical body while the soul rose to heaven. It flies away. So, Samuel Nason, a man after my own heart, and I think that this man just loved his wife so much that he was like, my wife was beautiful, she was amazing, she was stunning, I'm going to, like, splurge on this gravestone, because this is what's on her gravestone. This is a carving of her.
Her tits just out?
Yep. Okay. that's what it looks like.
I gotta say...
but so, this is why
I know slim pickings among the carvers back in the day.
Yeah, it's
her face looks like a pancake.
It does. But especially amongst the rest of the graves that all look exactly the same.
Yeah, this is unique.
This is very unique. And this is also, if you see her hair, that's why that
I one, like the hair.
The one person on Random Times thinks it's an afro.
Oh, okay. What? It feels like it's more like a hair done up in a bun or something.
So, you know, leave it up to...
Also looks like
leave it up to the people.
Long strands of hair.
Yeah,
it looks like it's tied up.
It does. So we'll leave that up to the people. Okay. And then I think that you are right. I think that he was like, I really don't want my wife's grave to be disturbed. I have the money. Slap that stone on it.
Yeah. Move that stone.
Move that stone.
No wolves are going to be able to get around this.
The other thing is the epitaph is like also very... very pretty. I'm going to read it to you. Here lies, quite free from life's distressing care, a loving wife and tender parent dear, cut down in the midst of days, as you may see. But stop, my grief. Soon I shall be when death shall stop my breath and end my time. God grant my dust, may mingle then with thine, in sacred memory of Miss Mary Nason, wife of Samuel Nason, who departed this life August 18th, 1774, at 29.
Lovely.
I'm like, oh.
How sweet.
It's so sweet.
So sweet.
I just think that her husband was a Scorpio moon.
Okay.
Okay. I am a Scorpio moon. And Scorpio moons have this whole thing with life and death. And they're a little morbid sometimes. But the other thing is they have deep attachments. And I feel that. We're in a time where it's like, oh, death is going back to God. And it seems like he very much was like, I'm going to, like, there's a deep love there, I believe. And so I think all of that tender love and care spurned on some of these myths. Because her gravestone is...
There's elaborateness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just because... it's got to be the Wolfstone that must have started some kind of like town rumor around the area. And they decided to make
100%
agree. Maybe someone had a ghost story at one point and that incorporated this character.
Yeah. There are some people that believe that since she is like trying to rise, that the stone will heat up. So some people are like, oh, the stone is warm. And I'm like, wait, if the stone's sitting out in the sun all day, wouldn't it be warm?
Yeah.
A lot of this
rocks get hot.
Yeah. I will say some of the cemetery information, like what a wolfstone is, that all comes from Cemetery Insights and Beyond. And they have this really great, article called Witch Graves and Cemetery Lore, where her grave is specifically called out. It's talking about like witch graves. It's super fascinating. So if you want more information on like
different
graves that have witch lore, but I really do think it was just like Samuel was a little extra in his love for his wife after death. So there's that. Along with the warm stone. That sounds so stupid. Along with the warm stone sightings. Sounds like a
good spa day.
I'm just going to lay. Mary would be fine if I just lay. Right?
Just going to show up and lay on top of Mary's grave.
I think she'd be like, girl,
hot summer day.
Live your life, hot witch girl summer.
Fry my back, Mary.
The other thing that people report is that Mary also goes to the nearby school and she pushes children on the swing. She's still watching. She's, you know, mother of five, looking out for your kids when you turn your back just to make sure that, you know, they don't start crying because the swing stopped. it was so interesting to me because unfortunately her grave has also, had a lot of vandalism because of the witch story.
Oh no. So people are putting all witch symbols on the grave.
They're mostly trying to break the grave.
What the hell? I mean, that's so fucking weird.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who have like damaged
over the years. Yeah.
The photos that I've seen, it looks like it's still in pretty good condition, but I don't know when a lot of these photos were taken. But again, it's just like as somebody who identifies as somebody who practices different types of witchcraft, it is really sad that there's still such a deep misunderstanding in a historical context as well.
I do think it's really funny that, like, people will take a very obviously made up story. There's no record of any of this.
None.
And they'll just run with it and wholeheartedly believe it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that just kind of, that's a microcosm of a lot of things right now.
It's really funny though, too, because I was also kind of going through this story and it reminded me of Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Oh, that's a good one. One because, of your favorites. Like,
it is one of my favorites. It does not totally hold up. That holds up. Because also, again, watching it after sort of coming to terms with like my spirituality, it's really funny when Thorn, one of the Hex girls, is just sort of like, I'm 1/8 Wiccan on my mother's side. And I'm like, that's not how it works! That's not how it works. Cute, but that's not how it works. It would be like if I was like, I'm 1/2 Catholic on my mother's side. That's not how it works. So... that doesn't hold up, but it is really funny because it does go with the storyline of a woman.
I just noticed your shirt. I'm sorry.
It's got corgis on it.
It's got corgis on it. This one's got a bow tie.
They all have bow ties.
Oh my God. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. So, but the whole story leading up to the fact that, like, oh, she is a real witch is she's misunderstood because she was a healer and the people didn't like that.
Uh-huh.
Which I wanted to recommend a book here. Which is Waking the Witch by Pam Grossman. It's a really good book, especially if you want to dig deeper into how witches got witches, quote unquote, women who had magic powers, maybe, got tangled up with the church. Because what it really was, and to your point about the exorcisms, it a lot of the time it was like, but women shouldn't have power over anything, including people's health. Burn them.
Burn those witches.
It was a lot of time. It was just a way to continue to rob women of power.
Yeah.
By saying that they had a contract with Satan, and of course, there's the whole thing where like, oh, women are linked to Eve. And or sometimes, if you believe this, they are linked to Lilith. So.
From Diablo.
Yeah, specifically from Diablo. Like, if your girl is playing Diablo,
it's just run. Lilith. Run away.
You better run, because she's going to sacrifice you to Satan.
She's going to open up the portals to allow the hell armies to invade our world.
You bet. You better run. So, I highly recommend, because this book also goes through different historical texts on witchcraft and also dissects a little bit biblically, mm-hmm. like certain things. Like there are some translations of the Bible that use the word witch.
Yeah, some.
Some of them do. And it sort of like talks about like, okay, why did we translate it this way? Which I think is really cool. Also, if you're interested in just like modern witch stuff, it does have some of that as well. But it's really, really good book. And then also... like I said, the cemetery blog was really cool and had a great breakdown of different witch graves. But all of this to say, my belief is that Mary was a 29-year-old woman who was married to a very loving Scorpio moon husband. They had 5 kids together. After the birth of their last child, there were some complications. She probably was an herbalist or at least had some knowledge and imparted that upon her neighbors. And when she died, her husband was a little extra and wanted to make sure that her grave was not desecrated by animals and also just be a lovely in memoriam to his wife. With the very extra carving that was very out of the norm because he could afford it. And from there, people were like, why is this grave so different? And they've created stories around it.
Because witch.
Because witch. So that is the story of the York witch, Mary Nason.
Wow. Wow. I think this also like goes into another small... Mainism that we've talked about before, the Colonel Bucksport grave, which has the witch's foot, displayed on it, which they attribute, I believe, to this grave as well. So for those that don't want to go searching for that, it's just like
there's a watermark or a flaw in the granite.
Yeah,
that it doesn't even look like a foot. So yeah,
looks like a stocking, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah, maybe a stocking foot. Like if this is how it looks, how I used to draw feet, like in the fourth grade. So there are those. I thought it was really interesting that I had not heard a lot about this particular one. And I thought it was going to be something I would have to like squirrel away for another episode where we had like a mini bit. But yeah, as I kept digging, I was like, there's a lot more stuff I can talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, there's a lot of the sources that you'll see that I have in the show notes, a lot of them are like, sometimes it does seem like a one for one, but then there's just like a slight difference.
Yeah.
Where it says like, she had no kids. And I was like,
But
she had five.
I think it's really...
One of them gave the names of her children, which were all variations of Mary, Samuel, William, things like that. Very 1700s, 70s names.
Maybe this is all AI writing. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, like, it's hard to research anything related to, like, myths, cryptids, stuff like that, because... Yeah, everyone just makes shit up.
And I also don't know, like, if I, like, maybe I could dig into it and the York Historical Society, like, has more information, yeah, but it's not, like, readily available. And it is sort of, there's a program for living history, which is what the Seacoast Online article was talking about. There's, like, a living history segment for kids in York, which... It's very similar to what we did in Lymington, where, like, we went to all the historical sites. We went to, like, the Octagon House. We went to the Moody, like, we went and saw Moody's Cannon, like, stuff like that. So, it seems like this is also something that is actually perpetuated, unfortunately. I don't know how much or if it still is today, but that is kind of sad that they're like, this is the witch's grave.
Just keep it alive. Keep it going.
Keep it going. So
I think the amount of witch stuff is a little low, honestly. Like, they're just
yeah,
only things are like, oh, exercising demons or, you know.
And also...
playing with herbs.
Was exercise, like, because here's the thing, exercise, you know, doing exercises, because they said she exercised home specifically, and I'm like, did she just give you like a strand of garlic, which is something that the fucking Italians do? Like, did she plant some lilacs in front of your house to ward off bad spirits? Is that what she did? And you're calling it black magic for real?
I thought the garlic was for Dracula's or something.
It later kind of filtered into that, but if I remember correctly, it's definitely, like, that's why Italians have so much garlic in their kitchens, is because this is, like, a sacred space kind of thing. But, like, there's a lot of it that it is just sort of, like, herbal folk wisdom and a little bit of folk magic, maybe straight out satanic rituals. And again, we don't even know if she did do herbalism.
No, like, that's the thing.
Also,
like,
something that is not historically documented.
Yeah, no, it's like, all of this is made up. I mean, even your little statement in the end, that's some headcanon.
That's my headcanon in there. To be fair, you know? That is my headcanon.
Yeah.
But the other thing about it too, that is also a deeper discussion that we don't have to have right now, is why are we so obsessed with good witch, bad witch?
Because of The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. So, thank you. Is it like
answer,
Frank
done.
Bomb? I don't, yeah. But well, that is something where it's like, there's some people who are like, oh, but if she was an herbalist, she was a good witch, so she didn't deserve to get, and I'm like.
It is a Hollywood thing. I feel like that's just a kind of modern day, because I think the good witch, bad witch shit did come up from Wizard of Oz, and there are other shows that, or movies that depict like good witches, bad witches, the witches of what?
The Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah, there's that.
Yep.
Which I'm pretty confident it's just a movie about cougars.
You're correct. But as a witch, what I would like to see is like there's just the word is super loaded.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of times I just roll it into, oh, I'm pagan, which also is super loaded. I'm a heathen.
You know, when I think of witches, I think of like riding around on broomsticks, black cats, and maybe on occasion casting a little curse. Which brings us into it's definitely not whatever you're thinking.
No, I'm just excited.
Okay. You're going to be less excited. Well, it's time for our next mainism.
Hey, it's a mainism.
Today is actually going to be a little bit of a twofer. I didn't want to talk about one. Well, I'm just going to talk about this one first, back to my insult segue or curse segue.
My insult segue.
Well, it's more of an insult than a curse. So I think it was really funny that Mainers had a term for stupid, being numb.
Yeah.
Numb, but it's sort of like a sense of numb. It's felt like a more self-inflicted stupidity kind of term. But then I was kind of like, do we have any insults out there for like Mainers? And they do. There's an insult called if you're out on the freeway and you see someone cut you off. It's like, look at what this dubba's doing.
Dubba.
Dubba. Have you heard of dubba? So what is dubba? I got the term. I'll let you know if you're correct.
I am going to say it seems like an asshole who doesn't know what they're doing.
You got some essence here. It is mostly somebody who is like not sure what they're doing, is easily confused, not a very smart person. Excuse me. Not a very smart person. Like, you don't want to leave them in charge of anything, any planning activities or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I might call my friends a dubba on occasion. There was one time when my friend and I were planning a little day trip on the Appalachian Trail, and he told me that he had mapped out the route and it was 12 miles. We're going to do this all in a day. 12 miles can be a little bit much if you're not prepared. But yeah, got onto the trail 12 miles in. I'm like, oh, we must be near the end now. My friend is nervously looking at the map and he says, I think we got a little bit more to go. And I'm like, how much more to go? 6 miles? I wanted to murder this guy. So
how
we covered.
Fuck that up. Though,
we covered.
Is my question.
He eyeballed the map and did not do a good job of like calculating. We also did hit a. We did unfortunately go on a longer route at one point where we did veer off the trail for a scenic look, and it was also a very harder climb. Because we were in Pennsylvania. If you're hiking through Pennsylvania, it is the worst maintained part of the Appalachian Trail. Like, that's what everyone says. The trails are not well marked. There's really no, like, infrastructure along the paths to, like, help make climbs easier. There's not really any rails. You don't see staircases very often. You might at a state park area, but that's about it. You're not going to see it, like, further along into some wood areas, like, at least decent mile markers. That shit doesn't happen. You'll find like the footpath and that's about it.
Jesus Christ. As opposed to say Baxter State Park.
It's also labeled as one of the harder portions of the Appalachian hike because.
Probably because of that.
It's because of the how badly maintained it is. And also Pennsylvania, once you get into the Appalachian Trail area, is one of the rockiest and like most like ascending descending areas of the Appalachian Trail. It's just because of like it's just so you're constantly just going up and down a lot of time. Like when we were hiking it, we had ascended about like 3 times on pretty significant climbs throughout the 18 mile journey.
18 miles, that's bruh.
So yeah, anyway, I call my friend a dubba for the planning that he put into that.
Lovingly
dubba. Love you, Sam. But yeah, So, Adubba. I really like that. I'm going to see if there's any more insults I can throw at people. But now I got a new one for when I have road rage.
Adubba.
Because I'm trying not to swear as much. I don't know if anyone's noticed. They'll probably think, you haven't really tried at all. So.
I mean, good for you, I guess.
I think it's just better for my vocabulary if I don't say fuck all the time.
But it's the spice.
It's the spice. It's my spice.
Where's my spice? Like, I don't swear at work, but...
So, my other mainism that I wanted to talk about, which was a video that you sent me. So, we've already talked about... We have talked about the Lobster Festival that's held annually in Rockland.
Yeah.
But what... A microcosm of that is the Great Crate Race. B showed me a video of it this weekend and it just made me laugh. But it is a race that happens annually. It's one of the activities that happens during the Lobster Festival. And you can sign up. Anybody can sign up. Prices, last time I checked, anybody 12 and over is $15. And then under that, between a certain age, because they're not going to make toddlers do this, is about $10. Okay. So you too can go race on some lobster crates if you do feel inclined. I would love to.
You want
to
do it?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Get me in this. I'm going to take home the gold. Or maybe the bronze. I don't know. I'm going to play dirty though. I'm going to slash people's shoes. I'm going to tie people's shoelaces right before they start. Whoa!
Just like get down in there.
My goal is to cheat.
What's Jackson doing over there? He's on the ground by your feet.
He's injecting one of the players with steroids. They don't even test. What is he doing?
For why?
So
you just run across some lobster. Some,
50 lobster crates are set up for you. I guess they have some platform inside of it so you don't, because it's nets. Otherwise, you just stick your foot. Then you're actually caught and break your leg. That doesn't seem like a good time. But you can get through this race, have a good old time, maybe take home the gold. I don't know what the prize is, but
I think it's money.
Probably.
I think it's like $100.
Up it. Make it more exciting. It's more exciting when there's more money.
Homegrown Horror is going to sponsor the next one.
No. If someone wants to sponsor us to sponsor something, we'll gladly do that. We do not have the money.
We have no money. So it is in name only. There's no backing whatsoever.
If you think this is a successful show, you're wrong. did you notice we had ads on the other episodes a while ago? Yeah, that didn't rake much at all.
No, and now we don't have any.
No, we've been demonetized.
We have. It's because we're not fun enough.
No, we're the funnest. Shut up!
I don't know when the next Lobster Fest is.
It's at the end. I'll fucking tell you. It's the first weekend of August. So,
okay, so it's past.
It's past already. It's happened. It's come and gone. But you can sign up early.
Yeah.
And the dates are already announced online, but it's the first weekend of August.
Put it on your calendar, circle it, put stars around it, draw a little lobster. That's the day we're going.
Take time off work if you need to. B and I, we're going to be doing the one where they tie your legs together. We'll do that version.
A three-legged race
on lobster crates. That's going to be harder because we're different heights.
Yeah.
It's going to be a disaster.
I'll
just rip your leg off.
Off we go.
And off we go to the end of this episode.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As always, you can reach out to us if you have questions, comments. Have you experienced? I was gonna say, are you concerned about this witch in York? Has she been pushing your children on the swing? Did you touch her gravestone and it burnt your hand? Well, reach out to homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram @homegrownhorrorpod. I cannot help you legally if you did burn your hand on the stone, but you know, you can at least tell the story.
Thanks for listening, everybody. All you little freaks. Bye.